Time once again for Campaign Chronicles, continuing feature Know Your Candidate. And today's candidate is Phil?
Jerry Brown.
Right-o.
Now, Jerry Brown is the governor of California, the state flower of which is the poppy.
Ah, that may account for Jerry's more visionary approach to politics.
Yes, but his entrance into the political world was in many ways as bizarre as his entrance into the world itself.
Well, you know, that's really true, because as a baby...
Which he's still considered to be by many political pundits.
All right. He was discovered floating on an oil slick near the Marina City Yacht Club,
where his father-to-be, Edmund Pattycake Brown, was performing some legislative magic aboard Hard Huge's secret pleasure ship, the Glomar Duck.
Oh, I've seen pictures of that. Well, now look, Jerry's exact date of birth is unknown, shall we say, but he was found wearing a small brass charm embossed with the boast that Virgos make better lovers.
Now, that tells us something. Later, he was kidnapped by hooded Jesuits during a Catholic boys' school carnival and spent the next 15 formative years learning to speak out on important social and moral issues in spite of his vow of silence.
Ah, that must be why even today he seems to say so little at a time in history when we can only stand to hear so much.
But public notoriety day finally came to him in 1971 when he was voted one of the 10 most predictably dressed men in America by Eve Same Suit.
Mm-hmm. And upon his father's impeachment, he was willed the key to a humble condominium in the redneck section of the state capitol.
And the governorship of California, which he maintains as an absentee landlord.
Well, you know, according to the super in the building, he's been married 3 times.
Really?
To Dinah Shore, Helen Morgan, and secretly to Janis Joplin.
I'll be darned.
Oh,
his present involvement, by the way, with warbler Linda Ronstadt is a simple case of mistaken identity, believe it or not. She believes to this very day that he's really Jackson Brown.
Hey, know your candidate.
Governor James Brown.
And now, from the Campaign Chronicle Midwest TV Center, here's the local hosted show.
Thanks, Phil, and I'm here with the designer who makes the hats that the candidates throw into the ring. We're so happy to have you here, Mr. Yves Sansstuhl. Hello, Yves.
Thank you, local.
I'm wearing
the first hat. This is the Carter hat for him to throw into the ring. It is an artificial wolf hair hunting cap with a real wolf tail attached to scare off any rabbits.
Apparently,
the only opponents the president is really afraid of.
Well, that's really beautiful. And here, Yves, are coming the beautiful models. It's just terrific.
He's wearing there the Kennedy hat. It's a traditional family top hat stuffed with money. Yeah, you know, he is so high on the polls now that should he fall and land on his head, it will cushion the blow.
Beautiful. What is Ma Chère Marie?
Ma Chère Marie is wearing the Reagan hat. This is a very conservative old hat which looks older than it really is because he's thrown it several times before in the ring and it was pretty badly stepped on at the last Republican convention.
Well, you know, she really does look beautiful in it. Look at that.
This is the Ford hat,
and as I understand it, this is a football helmet in black and blue, and it's open on both the top and the bottom there, so Jerry will make no mistake in public when putting it on.
He's the man that will put the dent back in president. Now, the brown hat is a visionary solar-powered binner that plugs into a little socket he has on his head. It was a little operation he had in Laurel Canyon to constantly supply him with bright ideas whenever the sun shines.
Oh, well, that's startling and beautiful. And here comes Connolly, isn't this?
Chapeau Connolly.
Chapeau Connolly. Now, of course, everyone will recognize this as a 10-gallon hat, and it's filled entirely with crude oil.
Yes. And finally, the Becker hat. It's an elevator hat. Look, there it goes up. It's in straw, designed to make him stand out in the crowd, you know, even though it may be hard to find him even in the straw polls. And finally, here it is for you. Here's how you wear it now. You look so good in the celebrity clothes. The all-purpose political hat. I mean a hat, which comes in all shades and colors of opinions and can be worn in any uncompromising position without loss of face. And in case of emergency, you're really covered.
I feel covered.
Because if it is entirely edible and if you don't like it, you can eat it.
Oh, really? Is that true?
Of course, if the style doesn't catch on, I eat it. And look, and I love you.
Thank you.
Let's go eat expensive. Now back
to our studios in Washington.
The President Whoppler Story.
Say, excuse me, is this where you register to become a candidate for president of the United States?
Certainly is. I just have to sign your name right here. It's very, very easy.
Ted Wappler, W-O-P-P-L-L-E-R.
That's good. Well, you sign right
there.
It's Wappler. Wappler, okay, president.
Got a pen?
Okay, that's good. No, now you have to have these documents right here. You want to become a candidate, eh?
Yes, I'm
You're aware that candidate means an individual who seeks nomination for election to be president of the United States.
Yes, I know that.
And you're considered to seek the nomination if you, now, have you done this?
What?
Taken the action necessary under the law of a state to qualify for nomination for election.
Yes, I've done
have
that.
You received contributions or incurred qualified campaign expenses?
My wife
or,
gave me $10 to come down here.
Well, have you given consent for any other person to receive contributions
Look,
or incurred qualified? Listen, I'm just going to have to give you all this material. Do you own a plane, by the way?
I don't own a plane, no.
If you did, you know, in accordance here with the 114.9E of the commission's regulations, you could own a nonprofit corporate plane and take it off.
Let me just sign and get out of here.
Listen,
mind,
take all
please?
This stuff and memorize it overnight.
Stuff. Look, I got an idea. Is there someplace I can go to just change my name to President Wappler, or that'd be a lot easier?
Oh, that's very easy. This desk right over here.
Wow, why didn't you say so?
Federal Bureau of Name Changing, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to change my name to President Wappler. That's P-R-R-E-S-S-I-D-E-N-T.
Is that President?
Yeah, Wappler.
Oh.
That is not pronounced Wappler.
I have to check a couple
double
of things.
Double O, double P, double L, double E,
double I'm sorry, young fella. There already is a President Wappler.
Well,
I'm surprised you don't know that. It's his picture right up there on the wall.
And call me Joe.
The President Wappler. Time once again for Know Your Candidate. Today's candidate to get to know is...
Ted Kennedy!
Now, Ted Kennedy is not to be confused with Red Kennedy, the famous singing rodeo star, about whom the quality of whose character there is no debate.
Well, many people think that Kennedy is a rich Irishman. Neither are true. Kennedy was born poor, as he wrote about in his book, A Fortune in Poverty.
Actually born in the Boston workhouse, and he's not even Irish.
That's right. His mother, Crasho, is Iranian, and his father, Flubag, is French-Canadian and Kurdish. What's their last name, Phil?
Well, it's Kennedy. It's... actually a common Kurdish name.
What does it mean?
Lucky devil.
Well, he is. It's a rags-to-riches story. You know, he made his fortune returning empty scotch bottles for a dollar a bottle, build his fortune on, you know, proving, of course, that people who live off glass bottles shouldn't get stoned.
Right. Often thought to be a graduate of Harvard.
Well, he is.
Not true. He owns Harvard.
Oh, that's right. Actually, he was educated in the military. He's a summa cum laude graduate of the Air Conditioning Academy at Hot Point, New York.
Proud tradition. He captained the JV installation team there, the Fighting Blowhards.
That's right, but it wasn't all sports for Ted. He was also president of the Conspiracy Club.
He went onward and upward. His story is well known. On to Congress, representing the 15th District of Wyoming. He actually doesn't live there.
No, but he owns it.
Know Your Candidate.
Red Kennedy.
Hello, I'm so lovable and popular, I might as well be Henry Kissinger, and I'm extraordinarily proud of myself once again for getting paid to offer you Henry's Years, the 1970s in butter dishes. Jawohl, 10 priceless affordable butter plates from the Imperial Collection by Rockefeller of Fifth Avenue. A perfect frame for your portraits of the presidents in butter. Just listen to what they look like. A beautiful Persian-style design in pure fool's gold, depicting each of the 10 super historic events of the decade. Hand-painted by talented Cambodian expatriates. Start your collection now with plate number 1, 1973. The POWs come home. Plus, if you send the usual amount to the usual place, my people will include a copy of my latest doorstop, now available in paperback, for lightweights like you. Remember, that's Henry's Years, the 1970s in butter dishes. Why not order by phone? We'll be listening.
What a wonderful supper. Cold baked jelly beans, cottage cheese, remorse salad, wasted opportunity pie. I've got to take a wicked shit.
Son of a bitch! Which one of you crazy bastards made that fabulous dessert? That baked Hiroshima was a blast!
Don't thank me, Mr. President. I didn't have a fucking thing to do with it. It was Ike did the desserts, or maybe Lyndon.
Lyndon, that's the one.
Ah, God's gonads, Mr. President. That dessert weren't nothing. It was my special Asian orange sauce what made the difference.
Well, hell's bells, it was de goddamn licious. Hey, let's all get soused. What do you say, huh? Let's have some highballs. Franklin, what do you... Oh, for God's sake, Franklin's still asleep. Are we going to have to wait till he sleeps through his fourth term before we can have some goddamn highballs around here? Franklin!
Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, are we going to watch television?
No, we're not going to watch television, Mr. President. We're going to have some goddamn highballs, and then... I think we should all play Frisbee with Queen Reagan's new china set. What do you say?
I am a bit disappointed. I thought we were going to watch television.
Shit. There's nothing on. They canceled the Finn football game. Shit.
At ease, Mammy Jammers. It sure has been a lot more relaxed around the White House. Ever since Ronnie went down to Con the Coons in Cancun and took that mega bitch of a ball-busting wife of his with him.
I'll drink to that.
Well, God's nether parts, Harry. You'll drink to anything.
Yes. Oh, I like it here so much better. I certainly do like you, Mr. President, yes. You tried to win a war.
Oh, shit on a stick, Franklin. You started one.
But, Mr. President, I dropped the goddamn bomb.
You really gave him hell, Harry, son.
If you can't stand the heat, stay out of Nagasaki.
You know, Mr. President, I've been thinking. Oh. I've been wondering, have you got the fucking TV guide?
We're not going to watch TV, Mr. President. We're going to get soused on some highballs. And, hey, maybe later you and I could play the piano. Do you know chopsticks?
I make very few personal friends. I'm a lonely man.
No. It's really very simple. You just jam the chopsticks up under your fingernails and bang away on the keys. All these chink tunes sound the same to me, huh?
I never did like him.
Which one?
The little one with the hat. Me.
Yes, he never would have been president if it hadn't been for my heart.
And that hot, horny, humping little honeycomb in the hot springs, Franklin.
Say, Mr. President.
Yes?
Confidentially.
Yes?
Have we eaten dinner yet?
Well, I sure as hell have. Excuse me, Mr. President, but I gotta go to the crapper. So long.
Oh, God damn, I love the smell of fresh napalm in the morning.
Yes. Like mustard gas and dead horse hair.
Yeah, makes me hungry just to think of it. Well, I'm going to pour some of my secret barbecue sauce on my pecker and get all ready for Lady Bird. Hey, Lady Bird, standing tall for you. Coming, baby. Suey, suey, suey.
You know what I like? Ask me.
Oh, well, what do you like?
Big legs.
Ah, I had big legs once.
Big old net nylon stocking, big old heels, and big old legs. I remember so much. It comes rushing back at me. I remember how there used to be something to eat late at night in the White House. Damn, that Ike could make great military industrial tarts. And that woman in Ehrlichman's office, the one with the flat top and the humongous tits. The rest of it may as well have been a dream. Merely a dream. And all the men and women, merely f***ing players. Strutting and fretting their f***ing hour.
Chow, Dick.
I've already eaten.
Go to hell, Harry.
All the way, LBJ.
Come on, Lady Bird, let's hope in my library.
Oh, yes. Well, now that we're alone, Rona, and you too, Tom. Good morning, Jane. And Willard. Yes, there's a story I've always wanted to tell you, Rona, about the time that I was in Yalta with Uncle Joe. Well, all Joe wanted to talk about was the bomb. But what I wanted was his recipe for borscht. Now, here it is. First, you take a few beets from the peasants. Then you throw in a handful of reds. And you stir them around real good. Now that's a wonderful supper.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, this morning at 6:25 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, combined elements of the Imperial Japanese Navy and our forces ruthlessly attacked our naval base at Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands. I have conferred this morning with the Congress and the Chiefs of Staff in emergency session. We have reached our rendezvous with destiny. It is our unanimous and irrevocable decision that the United States of America unconditionally surrender. And now my wife and I would like to return with you for the thrilling conclusion of Private Nick Danger, Third Eye.
Know your candidate. And this week's candidate to know, Jimmy Carter.
That's our incumbent. It's about time we got to the president. And of course, as everyone knows, he is the first Jewish president of these United States. Born on Yom Kippur in a plane high above Georgia, way over there in the Ukraine.
Well, he's also been to the Underwater Naval Academy, and there he learned all there is to know about his naval, underwater.
Oh, well, servicing at last, Phil, after serving as a motion picture officer on the nuclear retreat submarine Ice Station Zero, Jimmy made his fortune freeze-drying peanuts with his smile.
He's a real family man, too. Has a six-pack of brothers, Bud, Billy, mm-hmm. Blitz, Oli, Lowbrow, and, Tuborg.
Ah, the lovable.
They've all got real good heads on their shoulders.
A real political dynasty in the making was shattered, you know, Phil. However, when Jim's proposal for marriage was refused by Mrs. Rose Kennedy, and so he was forced to marry his twin sister, Rosalind. who assumed the presidency informally in 1978.
A happy ending. You know, Carter has an infectious sense of humor, which has been placed in a blind trust by his business and financial advisor, Lance Curbo.
Good idea.
Jimmy's favorite politician?
Oh, well, that's Vice President Willie Nelson. You know, Jim collects rabbit's heads and hippo teeth.
And uncommitted delegates. And he tries to jog whenever he's not running for president.
Know your candidate.
That's President James, the Peanut Earl, Carter.
Here for the Campaign Chronicle, this is David Osman, and we're up in South Petaluma, California, as part of our big survey of techniques of fundraising. And Governor Jerry Brown of California certainly has some uniquely Californian ways of raising money. For example, this garage sale. I wonder if we could just move right over here and talk to the sales manager standing behind this table covered with items here. Excuse me, I can see by your name tag. Hi, I'm Drugs Dudley.
Hi, I'm Drugs Dudley.
No, well, that's what
Oh, you were
meant,
reading my tag.
Yes, I was.
Yes.
Can you tell us what some of these things are here on the table?
Oh, sure. These are all items from Jerry's storage area in the parking garage underneath his apartment building here.
You mean these are actually things that he's given up
in
his small for beautiful...
We're going to raise some money with it to help him in his campaign.
What's this little thing here?
Well, that's a real badger fur toothbrush, artificial.
Oh.
Over here, a redwood check file. See,
that's very California.
There, yeah. A dozen Latvian corn husk Madonnas.
Oh, very attractive.
They're unusual. A set of life-size golf balls and trivets right there. A synthetic chrome egg topper, hard to get, and three slightly used self-draining soap cups. It's a California
those
item.
Very Californian, too. I know.
A handsome and practical aluminum tree squirrel foiling skirt.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have any
really?
Trees anymore, so he doesn't use that.
I see. Third floor living.
Here's some boxes of shattered glass fairy lamps.
Oh,
they're
too
worthless,
bad.
But they are, you know, kind of a... what would you call it? Souvenir.
Uh-huh.
And some assorted West Indian acetate throat bangles.
Uh-huh.
We'll try one of those
really
on there.
Really?
Look at that. That's pretty good. And walnut toast tongs.
Yeah, I need those.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay. Listen.
I should take these
50
things
cents,
off my
50
neck.
Cents. And a mismatched set of bone china bridal thimbles from Korea. Ah,
oh.
Which leads me to the next table.
Well,
over
I can
here.
Tell by these wonderful packages here. These must have been wedding gifts. Is that true?
Yes, these are the unused wedding gifts from his secret marriage to Janis Joplin.
Oh, well.
Here's an ice cream. Spade. I don't know who gave him that. Some disposable historical playing cards. That's from ex-President Nixon. Five velvet mice pin cushions. Cheese is extra.
Oh, those are very cute.
Two pair of glazed chintz sleeping gloves. Never
from,
used.
Are those from Pat Nixon?
That's, no, that... I don't know. She had a headache.
Maybe Eisenhower, perhaps.
Some botanical hot pads, a necklace shorteners, and a set of matching screw starters.
Well, I think I can see maybe why he gave those away, but these items here, now these look like expensive,
yes. These are
high-priced items. Now.
These are over a dollar a piece, Dave.
Oh, really?
We have a collector's giant moon landing spoon. See, with the name Armstrong misspelled in Spanish. Humana. Some used clown flashlights, corroded batteries included.
Good.
A little sleepy baby in an egg. Isn't that cute? And personalized scotch tape dispensers if your name is Zeke, Knut, or Polyhymny.
Polyhymny. I have an aunt Polyhymny.
Well, this is only $1.25.
Oh, boy.
And here under the truck here is some a box of damaged Welsh wool abdominal bands, adjustable toe regulars, corn planes, and bunion bandages. They're all Welsh items from his relatives.
Really? Well, now, what about this is the season to be jolly. I understand it's time for...
Not for Jerry.
No, really?
No, he's very serious about the campaign. He's giving up Christmas for Lent.
Oh, thank you very much. This has been Dave Osman with Drugs Dudley in South Petaluma, California.
$137. We're on our way. And now, it's the Ronald Reagan Radio Show. Ronald's on the run on the road, so here's his replacement, Randy Rasmussen, of the Rasmussen Institute for the Study of Big Bucks, Big Bucks County, PA.
Hi, I'm Randy. Who isn't?
Chapter 1.
Today, we're going to look at the net worths and balance sheets of the 8 major candidates and determine who would be best suited to put us back in the Bucks. Certainly not Howard Baker or Jerry Brown. These two are the only non-millionaire candidates in the race. This alone disqualifies them from any serious consideration by voters who are already millionaires or hope to be. And you know who I'm talking to. Baker is not only worth less than $250,000. According to his wife Irma, Howard can't be trusted with a credit card in a hardware store. Brown is wealthier than Baker, but it's hardly enough. The majority of his income springs from his recent success in ceramics, selling small, beautiful plates he makes for $1,000 apiece to members of the record industry. Just into the millionaire circle is George Bush. His money's a little too new for me. Most of it is accounted for by his 500,000 preferred shares of CIA stock. Next up the golden ladder, and it's a bit of a disappointment, is our resident president, Jimmy Carter. He became a millionaire before entering the White House through his proprietary process of freeze-drying peanuts with his smile. Since taking office, he hasn't made a penny, except for his paltry salary, most of which is expended maintaining the appurtenances of the presidency. Cardigans, jeans, and running shoes. I'll be back with the really fat cats next. This is Randy Rasmussen signing off for now.
To be continued.
Man killed by 19 and a half tons of beef. A man was killed Saturday when 19 and a half tons of beef fell in his car.
Welfare payments to the dead reported. Flaws in a complicated computer
man
system.
Man lit up like light bulb by lightning bolt. A man struck by a lightning bolt while mowing his lawn.
Radioactive food still surfacing. Investigators have turned up more samples of radioactive food from a school district kitchen.
1979. The year the brain stood still. Coming to you before it's all over this year on Campaign Chronicle.
First monkey in space may remarry. Miss Baker, the country's first monkey in space, may
firefighter
marry.
Firefighter may
Norman
sue to
Norman.
Wear his earring, city firefighter Richard Ambler says.
Customer shocked by side order. Velma Evil said when she ordered a hamburger and french fries, she got a fried mouse on the
1979.
Side.
1979! The year the brain stood still.
And now, the Walter Walters Show with Walter Cronkite and Barbara Walters. Walter and Barbara refuse to be with us today, so here, substituting for them, is Randy Rasmussen of the Rasmussen Institute for the Study of Big Bucks, Big Bucks County, PA.
Hi, I'm still Randy. Who isn't?
The Four Wealthiest Candidates, Chapter 2.
Ronald Reagan is worth more than 10 John Connollys, at least at the bank. The former governor is a mature, confident businessman. As a young actor in Iowa, he learned to repackage used ice and sell it under the same name for huge profits in neighboring counties. Reagan developed the nationally popular Ron Jr. used ice franchises and subsequently sold them for big bucks, which he still has. Somewhere. He gets one star from Randy Rasmussen. Two stars goes to Ted Kennedy because we're talking about big, big bucks here. Teddy made his first million before he was six, returning liquor bottles from the Irish section of Boston at a dollar a pop. Thanks to a grandfather clause in the U.S. Constitution, drawn up by his grandfather, Joseph Delano Kennedy, Teddy still receives a dollar for every bottle of Irish dew that crosses the line. As I talk to you over this two-bit public radio station, he's making big, big bucks. He'd make a big, big president. But the Randy Rasmussen three-star pick of the rich goes to Gerald Ford, the wealthiest ex-president in the history of the country and easily the wealthiest of the major eight declared candidates. Gerald started late in the business of making money. Well into the second year of his administration, he was kept on a personal budget of $1.50 a week. It was only after losing a close one to himself in 1976 that he came alive as an entrepreneur. His first venture, the Jerry Ford Smart Golf Ball Bomb, went well in defense circles as a high-cost add-on. He then closed an immense licensing arrangement with International Harvester for the exclusive use of his inflation whipping machine, a device used in agribusiness for separating the men from the sheep. Impressive as these business successes are, they are dwarfed by the enormity of the cash flow that he sees from his mail order monster, Gerald Ford's Profiles of American Presidents in Butter. So if you like the bucks as much as Randy does, you'll go with Ford in 80. This is Randy Rasmussen signing off for now.
Not to be continued.
Know your candidate, George Bush.
Well, we're just beating around the bush if we think we're going to get to know our candidate this week, Phil, because George's entire personal history is under lock and key at the agency he once headed and still half owns, the CIA.
So this week, we don't get to know our candidate,
George Bush.